Today is Saturday, March 13, 2021, and this is Debbie Moran, and this is our new moon session. Anybody have something they want to say?
Hi, Debbie. This is Angela.
Hi, Ange. I saw you just come on.
Well, these are exciting times.
They are.
I just signed a lease today for a property in Punta Gorda, Florida.
Oh, wow. Good. We'll keep within driving distance.
Yes, it is. And my being feels at peace about it all, but my brain is trying to create a problem. It's kind of it's like I want to safeguard myself, but I feel like a lot of this exercise is to learn to trust myself. I mean, I do intuitive readings for other people. Sorry.
So tell me, what problems is your brain trying to create for you? Is it giving you a hint?
It's issues around trust and fear, and what if this isn't the right thing, and what if I'm giving money to someone that, because I'm not there. And so,
so you're renting something without seeing it. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't feel, I had called on another place and nothing about that place felt good. So I shut that down really fast. And this place had popped up and then it popped out and it came up again. And I was like, I think I need to call on this place. So I did. And so I've spent the last few days talking to the owner and getting things kind of lined up. But it's like where my point of frustration is, it's like I do intuitive readings for other people all the time, and I trust that. And then when it comes to myself, I freak myself out. Like, why? Like, does that not work for me? I mean, come on, you know?
I do know, my dear. I do.
So I would say my intention for this new moon is just to trust that everything is happening in the right flow and I can let it go and just enjoy the ride, because the rest of this is pretty fun. I mean, everything is like lined up for me. So.
Okay. That's wonderful. So, yeah, breathe. Because I feel the stress. I feel you want to stress. I feel you not exactly knowing how, which is okay. So what if we say, I'm willing to trust even if I don't know how?
Right.
And then just breathe into that. And in a way, it's like I feel a hook being taken from your heart that's saying, okay, so she really is willing to trust, and it's just a learning curve, and it's not even so much learning to trust, it's about that unlearning the distrust that we were taught,
right?
Or that we taught ourselves. So, yeah, breathe into that, my dear. And there's another chord around that, that, you know, have you ever heard that old saying, you can't, I don't even see, it's so foreign to me that John has quoted it to me before, John Veltine. And it's so foreign to me that it's so alien that it's like, I don't believe it, but I've experienced it. And it has something to do with not being able to thrive in your own backyard. And I feel like in a way, that's a part of an entanglement. It's a little bit convoluted, but it's really wrapped up around that dynamic of being able to work with yourself, be with yourself. Because you're as much as your own backyard as you can get.
Yeah.
Or your own town, I think it's something to the effect that you can't grow, you can't thrive in your own town. And I feel like it really is about not, it's about not, there's a slight difference. So there's a lot of convolution here that we're working with. It has to do with control, letting go of control, trusting, not knowing how, wanting to trust but not knowing how, and there's all those old sayings that are all entangled in that, that say you can't, and the experiences that you had that you can't. And it also has something to do with, and it's going to come back because it went right out of my head as I was talking.
Well, this should feel easier because last time I did this, I just got in my car and started driving. Like, I had no job. I had no place to live. And I was like, I want this to be easier this time. So
yeah,
I'm going, I'm keeping my job. Okay, I'm getting a place lined up so it's ready when I get there. And, like, all of that feels easier.
No.
But, it really is around that, just being able to, like, trust myself. Like, this is the right thing. Don't worry about it. Like, it's all is fine. And just
and
show
you're
up.
Safe.
And I'm safe. Yeah.
You're safe. That's the biggest thing that everybody in the world is dealing with right now. That programming that beat the consciousness down to following rules to be safe, and to that the world is dangerous. It's that programming that is so insidiously interwoven with so many different belief systems with all of us that the little ones in us are still running scared from when they didn't feel safe, and because when, you know, it was basically validated, yes, it's not safe, and they told me, my parents told me to be careful and to be afraid, and now I learned how to be careful and be afraid so well that I am scared that I'm always going to make the wrong choice. Let's tap that in. We're going to tap that in, not because we're tapping in that, because we're tapping in the fact that that is already there. So we're bringing it up so that we can actually, like, pull the tentacles and the tendrils that kind of keep it running. To open up in our hearts and our minds and our consciousness to the possibility that everything we thought, that we were taught, may have been a misunderstanding. Maybe it wasn't meant to be harmful, but maybe it became harmful because we misunderstood, and maybe we can just come to a place where we can, this is where it's coming back, Ange, that whole thing about letting go of control. So it's about letting go of control, yet taking ownership of your life and your body, and taking command of your life and your body. And it seems like that wordplay in keeping control, but it's not. It's coming from this place of assuredness, this self-assurance, rather than this self-confidence. So many people come to me and they say they want self-confidence. But self-confidence comes from outside stimulus. You get self-confidence because you actually achieve something and get some sort of accolade and reward for it out there. So it builds up your self-confidence. You could say it's the same thing as self-assurance, but it's really more related to the ego, that survival mechanism in our body. And so it's really about opening up our consciousness where we breathe into every moment so lusciously that we start to feel good in our bodies, and regardless of all the noise out there, and it's funny because I'm getting so much noise on my computer as soon as I started the video with Facebook. So, but it's like if we can just kind of breathe into presence so much that noise level is just so much white noise in the background that it's basically more soothing than unsettling, than jittery nerves. Because that's what I feel. I feel so many jittery nerves. That it's just, I've been feeling so much of that in the world, and so much conflicting information, and so many stories, and so many people throwing their ideas about what's going on as if they're facts, when there's so much convolution and our senses are so obscured by all of that that we just talked about, that who knows what the facts are. We just know that one of the facts are we appear to be a human being, and we're theoretically promised this divine birthright. And if we breathe into it enough, we'll actually recognize that's true. That we came here to play, but maybe we want to quit playing horror stories. And Battlestar Galactica, or World War II, and I can beat you. And maybe we want to change the theme. Mm-hmm. Of what we want to choose and what we prefer in our lives. And if enough of us do that, we have that tipping point that the whole world doesn't have to wake up at once. The whole world will wake up at once, except for it will seem like everybody's waking up at different times. Of course, the miracle says no one is left behind. I find this saying so funny, because the military took so many of those no man left behind, because they got a clue of the consciousness around that. So they're privy to energy. They're privy to consciousness. They're privy to the world, the unseen world. But they're still coming from this place of confusion about what power is. And when I say they're coming from this place of confusion about what power is, that means us. That means if we theoretically are only one, then all of us play a part in this, and we're meant to play a part in this. But maybe we want to shift our parts. Maybe we want to shift our roles. How are you feeling, Ange?
More calm.
Yeah. Because when enough of us remind each other and come together and breathe and say what we feel to be true in our hearts and souls, not in our minds, you've heard me say human means God and mind. But too often we, you know, there's all this mindfulness, all these mindfulness programs out there, and they're great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing anybody. But I think there's still confusion around mindfulness, because I think more often than not, the mindfulness we're actually tapping into is the mind of mankind rather than the mind of God. And maybe if we actually have enough of a doubt that we can't tap into the mind of God, in other words, if we have enough of a doubt that opens up our pathways in our consciousness, in our minds, in our brains, then maybe everything will flow in a way that feels like it's flowing for us instead of against us. I used to go rollerblading all the time when I lived in Tampa. And it was so funny, because so many times the wind would be pushing me backwards, and I would be like singing that old song, Against the Wind. And I didn't even know that every time I was singing that song Against the Wind, I was just reaffirming that. So maybe if we just notice when we're reaffirming something that's not been working for us and reframe it and breathe into it and tap it in. The more we do that and the more that we come together doing that, the more that will be and the more we will be that. Not all that insanity we see out there, and not all the fright, scare me kind of movies, not all of that. But the mysteries. You know, our minds do understand that life is mystery and a puzzle. It's just that our minds, our brains, not our minds are the brain is the mechanism of the mind. But yes, the human mind likes complications because it likes to keep busy. It likes to solve puzzles. It likes to solve mysteries. It likes to compute and strategize, mostly with itself. But, oh, it's so much fun with all these things out there that we do at that level of the mind. And I'm not even making that level of the mind wrong. I'm just saying, hey, maybe we can step it up a bit. And maybe we can connect with our heart and our gut brain, our heart brain and our gut brain enough that we can recognize, oh, yes, this may be a game. Maybe it can be fun and not so cutthroat. And cutthroat came up because I literally saw like a knife slicing the jugular vein. Ugh. But that's what I saw. So, I want to tap into that throat chakra and that solar plexus chakra. The yin and yang of one another, the yin and the yang is the solar plexus. And what I want to do is think them, link them with a consciousness of harmony. I can say balance, but there's a confusion, I think, even at the mind level with balance, because balance from so many thought processes is all about, you ever been on a seesaw? Have you ever tried to keep it level? And that's kind of the balance that we talk about. Like, let's keep it balanced. Let's keep it level. But that's not balance. Balance is a constant flow, a rhythm, a harmony, a dance. And the balance is that we match one another in such a way that we harmonize, and that is the balance. It's not a static still point. It is a moving balance of harmony and rhythm and love and light. Speaking of love and light, I just felt like I just wanted to, you've all seen that radiant heart that I use for the new moon session. So imagine that is actually radiating light and love to you now. In fact, all the time. Imagine that, because it is. Up until now, we've been believing what we were told, either from somebody out there or somebody we left frozen in our body because of a previous experience, another little one of us. I don't think many people on this session are following the news, so I don't think that's it. But there's a dynamic where we've been buying into things that we don't really agree with or align with. But that doesn't mean we want to be against them either, because I think that's part of the dynamic that happens in the spiritual realm and the energy practice, where people start going, okay, I'm not in agreement with that. I'm not in alignment with that. And then it becomes an opposition or a repulsion, which actually is in agreement with that, just from an antagonistic point of view. So what I mean by that is, when we're fighting against something, we are giving it our energy. And when we are at peace with whatever comes our way, and that's a challenge sometimes, but that's the challenge we chose. When we are at peace with whatever comes our way, then our way becomes clearer. And we start recognizing that life is one big miracle. It is not about a series of events of synchronicities and miracles. Life is one big miracle, and the more we are present to it, the more we start to live that. So, now I'm feeling you, Susan. I just got your email, and I was feeling you. I think I was feeling you anyway. I actually thought I didn't let Susan know, but I did give her the dates before, so hopefully she'll remember.
Like, I knew this morning, and then it dropped out of my mind until probably about five. Oh, sorry, five. You're seven. But I'm glad it came back when it did.
Yeah, it did. And I hear you. I feel you. It's like, I feel like we have these plans. We were talking about Houston. And I feel like actually many of us on this call, I'm going to say myself, I thank you too, Susan, you, Ange, probably you too, Mimi, and everybody who is on the call. I feel like we have a different relationship with time than time actually shows up. And what I mean by that is, I have been feeling things as if they're already done, which is really what Florence Scovel Shinn and Neville Goddard all talked about, you know, be in it as if it's already complete. And that's really, it's kind of a manifestation technique, but I really think that's a little misleading too. It's not even so much about a manifestation technique. It's more about just breathing into the moment, feeling it as if you're living it right then. But I feel like in some instances, many of us have been doing that and living it, even though it hasn't come to fruition. In other words, mm-hmm. We see it as if, like for years now, I have been seeing a lot of the things that have been happening, but they took so long to happen. And so it feels like just a different relationship with time. And I feel like since time is shifting drastically for everyone now, it's almost like time is sped up and yet slowed down at the same time, unintended, I guess. So what I guess I'm getting at is we want things to happen in our timeline because this is the timeline we appear to be living. And sometimes things take way too long for most of our preferences. I'm speaking for myself. I think I can speak for you guys too.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's just because we're working at a different, I don't even know how to say it. It's really less about working at a different level. It's having a different relationship, but also it's like working in multiple timelines. Fully being present in the one. So it's kind of a bit about the defrag that we do in body talk, or the I call it like a quantum integration of all of these dimensional lives. So I see it like a bit like collapsing the wave on some of those lives and bringing that energy present here, so that whatever's going on in that life can be going on in that life, but it doesn't have to bleed over into this one. In fact, more often than not, that can be detrimental to both of them, or however many of them. So I feel like we're feeling the urgency, and yet we're misunderstanding time. And so it's really less about patience. We've been talking about being, let's be patient. It's less about patience and more about just breathing into every moment as it comes. And then it feels like it's a lot less stressful. And it feels like that will allow the interval in between, allow you to do the interval in between. My sister just said she didn't see me on there. I said, I'm on. It will allow you to do the interval in between without feeling like it's taking forever. Oh, there we are. Okay. Thank you, Jackie. I finally am able to see you here. It's weird because I had the live going on in one screen and the comments going on in another. So what's up with that? I don't know, but at least I can see you now. Okay. So, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come to you, Jackie. But for right now, I'm going to stay with Susan. So I feel, Susan, like kind of what we were talking with Ange about the letting go of everything.
Yes.
I think it's that. It's about, it literally is about letting. Okay, so here's another reframe. You know, in body talk, we talk about letting go to life. So really, letting go has a whole new connotation when you think about that. Letting go to life does not have to do with letting go of everything. It has to do with letting go to life, to being present in that moment, which means that then everything kind of settles into its own space, including you.
Mm.
And as I said that too, Susan, I kind of get this painting with Sozo has something to do with your delay, and it also has something to do with the energy between you and Nani and Daka.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I do believe that Daka and you are intricately linked, more so than you've ever realized, and he is mimicking, he is expressing what you've been experiencing. And Nani's still young, so Nani is having his bonding challenges.
Yeah.
And actually, what I'm getting is he's also feeling you're trying to be calm and be with the void, but he's feeling the angst and the anxiety and worry. And a lot's been going on in the world. And as a result, again, they're feeling it.
Yeah.
Because they have a very big essence, especially both of them. Daka has it. They're different essences. They both have big essences, and then they have you know, birds have a very strong limbic brain, just like dogs, actually, and they're very emotional. So it's really, they're just struggling with all of the energy of what's going on in the world.
The interval in between.
So weird. Now I have two videos going on.
So it's really, they're just struggling with all of the energy of what's going on.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to pause that one.
This went blank for a while there.
Yeah, this whole technology thing. All right. I'm going to let it catch up. So, that's interesting, actually, what just occurred, because it feels very significant with what we were just talking about with time and timelines. And it's interesting that Facebook calls these things live. So it feels very much like that was just mirroring. It's basically making my point of what I was just talking about with time and our ability to interact with it. So, where are we now? Standing is tinnitus. It is very metaphorical, Nadir. Which ear does he have that in, by the way? Or both? Susan, did I lose you?
Yeah, it went blank again for a second. Sorry, did you repeat?
Oh, sure. Which ear does Stan have the tinnitus in, or is it both?
It's both. We can, you know, plug his ears and still hear it.
Yeah, it is very metaphorical, and it really has to do with what we were just talking about with being in sync with, has to do with a couple things. Being in sync with timing, a few things actually, wanting to hear something other than what he's hearing. And on another level, I feel like it's tinnitus, I think, can be a shift in senses in terms of the evolution of our bodies and our senses and our way of being in the world.
Interesting.
So maybe we can tap into that in a way that will not necessarily tone it down, not try to do away with it, but try to tune it in. Let's try to tune it in.
Tune
it in. And when I say try to tune it in, I'm just going to ask for the tinnitus to tune the frequency of that, the true frequency, to tune in. So that you can truly hear what's true. So rather than turn it off, let's tune it in.
Yeah.
So he can actually understand what is happening.
No, like if you're a little bit off on a radio or TV frequency.
Yes, it's annoying and irritating.
You get static. Yeah.
You get exactly. You get static, which is kind of what I'm getting on this slide right now. So yeah, it gets static, and so I feel like as things are shifting, we're struggling so hard to maintain that control and make the right choices that we're not creating enough space within ourselves, we're not breathing enough to actually open up our pathways and passageways to actually be able to hear the messages or to receive the messages, whether they're coming through whatever senses they're coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think our senses are evolving in terms of being able to, get a full picture. You know, how we see things, we hear things, we smell things, we taste things, we touch things. And some of us learn more through our sound, through our hearing, and some of us learn more through what we see. Some of us learn more by kinesthetic, by our touch. But what I learned with body talk is as we go along, the ones that were weakest get stronger. And as they get stronger, it's like there's more of a harmonizing between them. So it becomes more of a full picture rather than a full sensory experience. And there's something actually called synesthesia out there where people talk about, they call it a disorder. I don't think it's a disorder. I think it's just like the autism spectrum of the brain. I don't think it's a disorder. I think it's the evolution of the species. And we're trying to dummy it down, or we're trying to fix it when it doesn't need to be fixed. It needs to be allowed and understood. But it's not allowed and understood because it doesn't fit within the way we've established. It doesn't fit with our established world. And our established world is fighting for its life, ironically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that established world that's fighting for its life is not meant to stay. It's not meant to be concrete. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to be so rigid. That's death. So the reason it's fighting for its life is because on some level, energetically, there is an awareness that rigidity of this is how it is, and we're going to follow this rule after this rule after this rule after this rule and not allow it to change, that is death.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it brings to fruition. So we're just tapping into that to help Stan and anybody experiencing hypersensitivity with their senses to be able to fine-tune, for those senses to be fine-tuned with their brains, not just the head brain, with their brain, with the frequencies of their body and with the frequencies of their essence, so that life becomes clearer and lighter, and then radiates that out. That's beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. I love that, actually. So, thank you, too.
That's beautiful.
Yes. And that takes me to you, Jeff. And Jackie is asking to help her brain heal and be ready for eye surgery. Okay. So, Jackie, if you would you put a note as to what kind of eye surgery? And we'll do that. She's having eye surgery on March 24th. But also, I would like to just add you, because you're on this session as well, to what we just talked about, to align you to the availability of tuning in the frequencies in such a way where it all comes together. It all comes together. It all harmonizes. And you get clearer and clearer. And your vision gets clearer and clearer. And your thinking gets clearer and clearer. nice. Yeah, I like that too, Jackie. So. So. I've been feeling a lot of craziness in the world. And I kind of laugh saying that because, you know, most people think that what normal out there is normal. But to me, that's the craziness. And so, like I said, the status quo, the establishment, the established world that we have created up till now is trying to fight for its life. It's trying to maintain itself, and it's trying to keep everybody stable in that model. But that model is absolute. And it is time for it to crumble. And that's what's happened. And as it's crumbling, people are freaking out. And understandably, because we so programmed ourselves and relied on that way of being for so long. And now, it's like I said, we're going to fine-tune everybody and bring everybody into that awareness where you can harmonize with what's necessary for you, moment by moment by moment. So, we're going to go to the hypothalamus right now, which is the moon, as you guys know, in Vedic philosophy. The ancients knew it was the moon. So the hypothalamus is the moon, and it's the dark moon right now. I love what you said about the void, Susan, because that's actually it. It's the void. There's actually a country in the Pacific, I don't know if it's Indonesia or Bali or what country it is, but there's a country where they call the dark moon, they think it's evil. And I'm going to say that's a misunderstanding for sure. And what I'm getting is that dark moon, that misunderstanding that the darkness is a scary place, is part of the vibration and part of the belief systems we need to overcome. Because the darkness, as science has proven, not that science is the testimony, I find it usually validates what we already know intuitively, but science has proven now, so it's established in some people's minds, that the void is not empty. This world is empty, and the void is full. And wouldn't that fit with the fact that everything is a projection and reflection of the one infinite light of consciousness, the one infinite God. So that actually gives me a little butterflies in the belly and stuff, not in an anxious way, but kind of in this really beautiful way of, that makes so much sense to me. So it's like we are the projection, hence the senses, and why we only see a very, very minimal frequency of light. Actually, we're watching this science show called Osmos on Disney Plus. For anybody that has Disney Plus, I highly recommend this show. It basically validates a lot of the things that we've been talking about all this time, and it talks about the one we just watched last night, as a matter of fact, talked about eyes, it talked about the senses, it talked about light, and it talked about how we see a very minimal range in the whole spectrum of light. Our eyes are not designed to actually see the whole spectrum of light. That kind of brings a whole new meaning to me, for I once was blind, but now I see. So it's really, how can we tap into that greater range of light, that greater range of spectrum? I think the way we tap into it is simply by breathing into it and recognizing it's possible. Because up until now, we thought that the only way we were going, we thought that the energy was too much for us. I know personally, I went through a Kundalini experience, an 8-year Kundalini experience where I've written a little bit about it. I'm going to write more about it later. Actually, quite honestly, couldn't write about it while I was in it. But during that time, I almost died multiple times. And I literally felt like I was burning inside out all the time. And I share this with you only because I think it's relevant to right now what I'm talking about, is because I misunderstood. I on some level came into this world knowing that I'm responsible for everything, but I interpreted it for mini-me. So I interpreted it from the sacrificial, put myself on the cross dynamic, like I was responsible for all the world wars, and I was responsible for all this stuff, and I was somehow making all of this happen. And there's truth to that, but it's not the way I imagined it to be. And what I mean by that is, so I literally thought that I needed to contain the universe, the universal energy, in this body, in this little body. And many of us do. And what that does is that causes things to break because you can't. But when you finally realize the body doesn't have to break, because it's not about containing the energy of all life. It's about allowing the energy of all life to flow through this body. And when we breathe into it and breathe, so that's why breath is so important, because that is our life force. And the more we breathe that, the more life flows through us, and we don't deplete our body because we're not using this energy body. This energy body is being the conduit to allow it to flow through us. And the more of us that practice that, but part of us, we haven't been practicing that because there is that fear of what would happen, what almost happened to me because of my misunderstanding, that you have to die to actually be in touch with the infinite. That's a lie. That's not true. You don't have to die to be in touch with the infinite. You are the infinite. I am the infinite. You are that, and I'm that. We are all that, and we're all these different. It's bringing an interesting perspective to the vision and to the spectrum of light now that I'm actually was talking about. This is an interesting thing to contemplate. I don't know what's going to come out of it. But remember I talked about how the eyes don't see, they see like a minimal, like 1% of the frequency that's available. Well, it's been said that we are all a ray of light. We are all a ray of the infinite light. We are all a ray of God. And would that mean we each have our own frequency? We each have our own spectrum. And I don't know how this is all going to evolve, but I know it's evolving into something now because it's coming up. And what that means is, what if each and every one of us on this planet, not just humans, but if each and every one of us on this planet is a line in that spectrum of all of the rays of light. And maybe that's why we're not seeing them, because we don't recognize that and we're not being that. We don't recognize we are that. So maybe when we're conscious enough that we can actually see that, realize that, then it will expand our horizons and it will pull away the veil that's been keeping us banging our heads against the walls or shooting each other. Maybe when we pull the veil, we'll recognize one another and we'll breathe a little more and we'll love a lot more. Oh. Okay. Does anybody else have anything else? I kind of came in with whatever is going to show up for all of us for the highest good. Aha. I'm now looking at free conference calls, so hi, everybody. So, see what else comes up. We started at the hypothalamus before I went on that world, that ride, which was, I'm happy we went on. So we're now at the hypothalamus, and we're linking it to the alimentary canal, actually. Oh, your throat, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
We're linking to the alimentary canal in the mouth, down the throat, into the alimentary canal, because part of what's going on with you is just like Stan hasn't wanted to hear what he needs to hear.
Yes.
And it's not, that's not a criticism. That's just what's coming up. You have not been able to digest what you've been experiencing.
Yeah.
And you have had a really hard time swallowing a lot of what's going on. And digesting even so's departure.
Yeah.
You have had a hard time experiencing letting go of. You've been had a really hard time with so's departure. And
definitely.
That's part of the other birds as well. That's not. Don't take that on as guilt. Okay.
Yeah.
Do not feel guilty. That's just what's showing up. So we want to actually kind of clear that. How close are you at finishing the painting?
I have really just a couple more hours, main work to do, and then a lot of things have to dry. So in a week or two, when I can put it upright, I may make a few more final touches. So most of what's left to be done is drying time.
Okay, how are you feeling about completing it?
Very mixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's almost like completing it is letting him go.
Yes, that's exactly.
While it needs to happen, doesn't feel good.
That's exactly what I got, my dear.
Yeah, and yet I kind of figured we can't sell the house and move until it's complete. Well, which you would figure the grief had to be completed first. Yeah, so although a confusing circle.
Yep, it feels like it, exactly. You're in that loop. So it's
mm-hmm.
almost like that loop of he's still here.
Yeah.
And he is, just not physically. And I tell, you know, it's like all of us in this realm, we know that there is no such thing as death. At least we know that deeply. But our
mm-hmm.
physical body is the physical body. So your physical body needs to grieve so. And you have not been able to come to terms with the fact that he's gone. Not completely.
Yeah. Very true.
And I understand that. He was such a vibrant light and life for you, for all of you.
Yeah.
And he's still with you. And I hear him saying, I will always be with her, but she needs to come to terms and see me fly away.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his words, fly away, see me fly away.
Wow. Yeah, and this picture of is of him flying. He always showed up in meditation as a healthy, actually green wing instead of blue and gold, and flying, like, clear distinction.
So the picture is of him flying?
It's of him flying, and it's him flying in the form of a green wing macaw that he always showed himself as when, in meditation.
That's
he was
beautiful.
A blue and gold macaw. But he was flying.
Yes. He wants you to be able to feel good. These are his words too. I want her to be able to feel good about seeing me fly away. And knowing that I'm always there. I'm always there. And he says, you can't force it, so don't try to pretend. Is that
he's
not
so
gonna
wise.
Work? He what?
He's so wise.
Yes, he is. He's like, if you pretend it's not going to help, you want to come to a point where you can swallow the realization that his body has left you.
Yeah.
And if you can feel good about that, that's like when things are going to move. When I say feel good about it, it's not like, oh, I'm so happy he's gone. It's more about, so beautiful. I'm so grateful that I can actually, that I actually was able to share my life with this amazing, amazing, amazing being.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I'm so grateful that he is free now and he actually has his wings.
He's free now and what now? Cut out again.
He has his wings.
Oh, he can fly now, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, a big heart of his can be a helpful metaphor and not something that keeps him from flying.
Exactly. But the key, my dear, is also allowing yourself. You can't be happy for him until you've allowed yourself to sufficiently grieve. And trying to be strong and hold it together, not working. That's the other thing Daka and Nani are saying. Not working.
No, it's not. I could see that it's not. I thought it was. I had this nice illusion.
Yeah, exactly. It's time to get rid of the illusion. It's time to let go of the illusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let go of the illusion that you are actually in control, but let yourself grieve it. Let yourself grieve him. And let yourself grieve him thoroughly, because until you let yourself grieve him thoroughly, both of you, you're not doing justice for Daka and Nani.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a parent who loses a child and grieves and just succumbs to grief so much that they disappear to the children that are there.
Yeah.
So that's where you're being called to be present.
Yeah.
But being present means allow yourself to grieve. So. And part of it is you are in the middle of the painting. So you are with him.
Yes. Yeah.
You will not be without him when the painting is complete, but you will have a different connection with him.
Oh.
A different interaction.
Hmm.
So, working with all of the senses for everybody to integrate that whole process of what we just talked about. Because, yes, Susan, much what I was doing, we were doing with you and the birds, but it's also for everybody else. So you guys, breathe it in, please. Breathe it in. Breathe it in and tap it in. It's time for all of us to realize our own frequency. And when we do that, then we'll be able to expand our vibrations to the degree that we are getting clearer information. We are clearer, but we are also allowing others to be clearer with us. Anything else? So, everybody, I'm getting for some reason, everybody hold your hands over your heart. If you're a woman, right hand, left hand over right hand. If you're a man, right hand over left hand. Unless you intuitively feel guided otherwise. And just take in three big breaths, in and out, together, in your own rhythm, but together. And please just remember to breathe. Remember to stay hydrated. And when you're feeling, and tap. Those three simple things will help you integrate this session and all that's going on in the world right now, as you need to integrate it, not as the world, as you need to integrate it so that you can be more present to your own spectrum, your own frequency. A clear vessel, a clear light in your life and in the world. Okay, everybody. Unless somebody has something else, we are a little bit over, so we're complete. Oh, I did want to mention a couple things. If I don't, Norman will be on me when I get off of here. First thing I want to mention is March 24th at 2 p.m. Eastern, I'm doing a soul side chat with my friend, Mark Youngblood, on Facebook. And it's really about, called Navigating the Now. So it's really about being present. So it's going to be more of this. And the other thing is I wrote a book. So it's available on Amazon if you're interested. And that's it. Thank you. I'm grateful for all of you and I love you.
Thank you, Debbie. Definitely grateful.
You're welcome.
We're all grateful for you and love you.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay, good. You, Ange?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I followed all of that, what you said about Zozo.
About what?
About Zozo. Just about him leaving and...
Oh, I know, with Kelso. I figured you would be right on cue.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same.
Yep.
Kelso will be with you all. Kelso is with you always. But
I know he's already gone to... He's already gone to check out the new place and everything. Like, he's just so much a part of all of this.
Oh, that's lovely.
Mm-hmm. I still talk to him. You know, I tell him, look, I know you're feeling so much better, but I'm just going to cry right now.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I really am grateful for you guys. Thank you. I'm going to just
We're
keep doing these.
For you.
Yes. I'm going to hang up before Norman, and he's like, it takes you forever to hang up, so I'm going to stop.
All right, have a good night.
I love you all. This will be, the recordings will be available both on Facebook and on the audio by the end of the night.